What are names that strike the deepest chord in your hearts tonight? Names that are special to you. Maybe a parent or a sibling's name. Maybe the name of your spouse. Or child or grandchild. And names mean something to people. They say that as often as 250 times a minute a baby is born. And when a baby is born, the decision to name the baby is likely already made. It marks the child for life. For the rest of their days, they will react to this one word, sometimes two. For some, the choice is straightforward. For others, the naming process is very difficult. Is there a name we like? Does anyone else have it? What does the name mean? Do we need to use a family name? How will people react to this name? Will the name suit the child when they grow up? These are all questions parents will ask. I had some name choices for our sons that were vetoed. Thor. No, just kidding. I never thought of that. Doing that. Just joking. No, that naming is important to us. I can remember when I was a kid, I wanted to change my name. I started writing it different on my papers in third grade, and eventually a teacher contacted my parents. What is his name? Well, as you read in the New Testament, choosing the name of baby Jesus turned out to be very straightforward. It was the only thing about him, about his birth, that was. The New Testament tells us that Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married. As you heard tonight, Mary was with child, even though she was a virgin, just as Isaiah had prophesied centuries beforehand. Just a note here, the Bible makes no apology about the power of God in creating the world, the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. So, of course, it makes no apology for the virgin conception. God himself came down into human flesh for a purpose. Meanwhile, during all of this, Joseph had received news that Mary was with child, and he had every right to have dealt with her in accord with the law of that day. However, he didn't. In fact, in the middle of this, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and informed him of what was going on with Mary's body. And then the angel of the Lord said this in Matthew 1, verse 21. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus. It is a name that, like the one who bears it, has come down from heaven. Our Lord has other names of office and relationship, but this is especially and peculiar, and in a peculiar way, just his own personal name. God the Father gave him this name, Jesus. I want you to consider with me for just a few moments together tonight why Jesus should be the sweetest name you know. And I have two considerations. First consideration, consider what his name means. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Jeshua or Joshua, and it means quite literally, Jehovah is salvation. God saves. It's not man who saves or Israel who saves, but God saves. And the explanation of the meaning of Jesus' name doesn't just appear out of nowhere, by the way. It comes from the Old Testament, especially Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8, a psalm in which Israel is encouraged to put your hope in the Lord because he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. He. These words pointed forward to God redeeming and saving his people, not out of the slavery of Egypt, but from the slavery of sin. The Bible says we are all born in sin. We are corrupted from our birth with a heart dead to loving God and alive toward obeying our flesh and our wanton desires. We have the natural instinct to even claim that our desires, yes, our wrong desires, are noble. So don't miss this. We are all under the curse of sin since the fall, the first Adam. Jesus, however, was born without sin, conceived of the Holy Spirit to be the one who would change the fate of sinners who come to him for salvation. And the Bible says we all need saving from our sinful nature, which warrants the just wrath against of God against our sinful deeds. We need saving from our sins. We need saving from our holy God's just response against our sin. The Old Testament taught that God would himself come to buy his people out of the curse of sin. Because the wages of sin, there's a cost to it. And the Exodus, many of you know that story in the Bible. It was just a picture of something greater to come. A special child born under assault like Moses, but greater was coming. And to lead a greater Exodus. And Matthew's account here announces that that moment has arrived. Give him the name Jesus. God saves. God has arrived on the scene to bring about his plan. And if you read Matthew 1 here, the context reveals that Joseph was told that Jesus would be God incarnate, since his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. God has come to do something for sinners that they cannot do for themselves, and that's liberate themselves from the bondage of sin. Think about your own tendencies. Are the things about yourself and your own character that frustrate you, that disappoint you about yourself? God told Adam and Eve that the curse of sin would come upon them if they disobeyed him, and it did. It has impacted all humanity. I've never had to teach my children to disobey. They naturally were quite good at it on their own. And my parents said the same thing about me. And my grandparents said the same thing about them. Sin has impacted us all. God, though, promised a Savior, a great liberator and a redeemer, and he himself would work this out. And that's why Wesley wrote the lyrics that we sang tonight. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Now, one thing that's interesting is that when I wrote this, I did not know that I would be teed up with Hark the Herald tonight in that way. But here it is. Friends, in our world full of sorrow and decay, we can feel the world against us. And we can feel so alone and defeated as we stare down each day a closer appointment with our own appointment with death. The good news is, though, despite the fact that we have been unlovely toward others and unlovely toward God, he shows his love not only by promising salvation, but by giving it and providing it himself. Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. God has entered into our suffering and sad world for a great purpose. So stop for a moment and consider that the name of Jesus means. God cared about and God entered into our suffering when he certainly did not have to. God saves. Jesus should be the sweetest name you know. Consider what his name means, but also consider why he's given this name. Consider why he's given this name. Jesus, it's his name alone. Because he alone will save his people from their sins, the text says. Not try to save or hope to save, but will save. He is the one, the only one that can do it. There's no other salvation from our sin and from the curse of death. There is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. He did not come to help us save ourselves by assisting our efforts with his own. Nope. He came to do it all himself. He does the saving. And the Bible teaches that Jesus not only was born without sin, but that he never sinned. Essentially, in Christ, we see that we did all the sinning and he does all the saving. And the word save here, it can mean deliver from troubles and afflictions of various kinds. But in context, we see Jesus' ministry will not first of all involve the physical liberation of Israel from their enemies and from Rome, but the spiritual salvation of God's people by removing the alienation from God which their sins have created. Our sins have separated us from God. The Bible says that it's not just some mere separation, just needs just a quick fix. It says it's the kind of separation that says we're at enmity with God. We rage against him because we want to do what we want. Sin is rebellion against God. It's doing what we want rather than what he wants. It's treasuring other things over him. It's obeying our own desires over him. It's trusting in ourselves and other things above him. And we've all sinned against God. We've all failed to do what we should have done. We have done things which we should not have done. And we've all been hypocrites who preach something for others while in secret think and do things which are not in keeping with our own fallen standards. The depravity runs deep. Everyone has sinned against God, failing to give him the thanks he deserves and creating chaos within human society, chaos within the home. But in Jesus, God has displayed with great clarity the merciful and forgiving character that he also exhibited in the Old Testament. The same scriptures that paint such a dark picture of man's sinfulness in his natural sinful condition also contain, friends, the wonderful, precious words of good news. That God's gracious provision for an amazing salvation is available to the very sinners who have rebelled against God and who have despised him. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So according to these words and the universal testimony of Holy Scripture, God's saving mercy centers in the person of the incarnate Son of God, the God-man, Christ Jesus. It is he and he alone who saves men from sin, that is, from its penalty, its power, and one day, sin's presence. Jesus did this by living the life we all should have lived, and then he went to the cross of Calvary. Not to be some poor martyr, not to look up there and see that he's setting some example, though he is the perfect example. No, he went there to make atonement for our sins. You've heard the phrase, "Hark the herald angels sing, mild he lays his glory by." What does that mean? He did it voluntarily, willingly, and lovingly. No one forced him. It wasn't just a duty. He faced unimaginable pain and death out of love for you and me. And so now you maybe have come to the deep conviction that you yourself are a sinner. You've rebelled against God. You know it to be as sure as I've spoken to you tonight. And God has offered you his Son, his one and only Son, to come and live the life you and I should have lived. And then that, in his perfect merit, his perfect righteousness, offered himself and substitution for us on the cross. Not to just to bleed and be beaten, but to actually encounter the wrath of God for us, to satisfy, to propitiate the wrath of God for our sins. Our sins were laid upon him. Darkness fell, and God judged him in our place. And when it was over, he said, "It is finished." And he died. The Bible says on the third day, he rose from the dead, proving that God accepted payment for his sacrifice on our behalf, for any and all who would repent of their sins and trust in Christ alone. And so when I say repentance, this is what the Bible means by repentance. It means choose a side. You can go on, keep going, my way is the only way. Or repentance says Jesus is the only way. I need to quit following myself and turn and follow Christ. The Bible calls us to repent of our sins and trust in the merits of Christ alone. Friends, you see that what Christ is offering us is that our merits, it teaches us that our merits are never enough. His merits are. We need his righteousness to enter heaven. your righteousness, I'm sure you're better than me. But the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, because God is pure and perfect and holy, and our righteousness won't cut it. We need the sinless Son of God to come and rescue us from our sins and from the wrath of God that we certainly deserve. He bore it for us. Friends, this question is tonight, my question for you is this. Are you the one of his people? He came to save his people from their sins. Are you one of his people? Do you know Christ? You can either claim the name of Christ or deny that name. Are you willing to say, God, I am a failure, a moral failure. I'm not perfect like Jesus. I've not loved you with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. I've not loved my neighbor as I love myself. And I am guilty. And Lord, I need forgiveness and pardon before I need anything else in this life. I need Jesus. Friends, you will either claim Christ as your only hope, or you'll deny him and find that in the end, when you stand before God, Jesus will deny you. He will deny you heaven with himself, and you will receive the just punishment, the hell that our sins have certainly deserved. So you're either trusting totally in the merits of Christ, or you're hoping in some of your merits to give you the right to enjoy God forever. One way or another, you make a choice. You're either trusting in the merits of Jesus, or you're still trusting in yourself and hoping you're a good enough person that you have the right on your own self-righteousness to stand before God. And the cross is an announcement to you and I that none of us have done that. Friends, turn from that if that's what you believe. Maybe you're here tonight and you claim Christ with your mouth, your lips, but your life, your actions deny him as Lord and Savior. Turn from that. Friends, what we practice and live out is what we actually really believe. That's our real theology. That's our real doctrine, is what we practice. And maybe you're here tonight and you know you need to join a church that says Jesus paid it all and not Jesus paid some. We would love to talk to you about joining a true gospel preaching church, the same gospel you've heard preached this evening. Get out from any group that denies that salvation is by grace alone, through trusting alone in the merits of Christ alone. Find a church that preaches the gospel and says Jesus paid it all. He alone is sufficient. That claims that Jesus, his name is Jesus, and he came to save us from our sins. So friends, I want to ask you this. What is the sweetest name you know? How you answer that is everything. Let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful for this precious time of year. And Lord, when we look at the Lord Jesus and all the glory that he divested, how he humbled himself to come serve us, and specifically for the purpose to redeem us from our sins, Lord, we realize this time of year is both filled with reverence and sorrow and joy. Sorrow over our sin, but joy in what you've provided for us in saving us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray for the grace not to allow this world to dictate this Christmas season, but our hearts be captivated by the word of truth, by the Lord Jesus himself. Lord, calls us to rejoice in our salvation. And for those who don't know you, we pray, God, that tonight they would cry out, Lord Jesus, save me. We ask you bless the remainder of our time now. In Jesus' name, amen.